Hello again, everyone. I'm back very soon after the last time. I'm sitting here in my living room. That's my guide dog, Niall. He's just shaking himself. And next to me is a little poodle called Lammy. And today is a very special day because 12 years ago today, this little poodle was born. My back door's blown shut. It's a little bit breezy, but it's so sunny and warm. Now, I just want to do a short tribute to my very special friend Lammy, or Yusuf Toof Toof, or whatever you like to call him, because he has been a very good friend to me. And in the last 12 years, I have been through a hell of a lot, believe me. Well, I'm sure we all have. So, I first met him on the 7th of May, 2003. He was, 5.5 months old? And he wasn't wanted by his owners because they bought him for their 8-year-old daughter. I'm sorry to say this, they were a very thick family. I don't want to sound a snob, so I'm not going to say any more, but they were. They had 7 kids. I think that they weren't bad kids or anything, but they they were one of these families that had lots of different dogs. They were always there, had American Bulldogs and Rottweilers and all these showy dogs, and they'd have them for 5 minutes and then they'd get rid of them and get another one, and they'd breed from them, sell the puppies and all that. But they bought him for their 8-year-old daughter, who had learning difficulties due to having a shunt in her head. And they expected an 8-year-old child who was a couple of years behind, because at one point she was old, 2 years older, I think, than... Yeah, that's right, 2 years older than Ronan. She'd be 19 now, I can't believe that. She was 2 years older than Ronan, but for 1 year she was in the same academic year as him because she was behind. And they didn't want to put her in a special unit, which they did have there at the school, but they wanted her to be able to be integrated. I think she did some of her stuff in the special unit, and half a day in there and half in with his year. So you're talking about basically a 5-year-old, someone with a mental age of probably 5 or 6. You expect them to take care of a puppy. Oh, she didn't take care of it properly. So they didn't want him anymore, and we knew their next door neighbours, and they said the kids used to just treat him like a toy. They used to put him on a lead and swing him around. As a result, he never really liked kids, which could have been a bit of a problem, as I had too, and they were then 6 and 11. But he was always worse with girls. I think it's because the older ones in that family were all girls. There was a direct split. There was like 3 girls, 3 boys, and then I think they had another girl. So the girls were the older ones, and they just lugged him about, and whenever he heard a child having a tantrum, he'd start barking. He didn't like it. He's mellowed now. He doesn't really, you know, he's all right with kids. I have to be a bit careful because, you know, he wouldn't really hurt them, but he gets frightened. He's frightened of them. It's not that he didn't like them. He was frightened of them. Because I remember once after I'd had him about a year, I went down to the school to pick one of the kids up. And one of them was off sick. No, hold on, let me get this right. Connor must have had a day off. I think Connor was at secondary school by then, and they had a day off or something. So we walked down to pick Ronan up. We had to, I don't know why. We walked Lammy down instead of me going with my guide dog. So he wasn't allowed into the school building. Hold on a sec. He wasn't allowed into the school building, so I waited outside in the porch, and Connor went in to get Ronan. And the woman who'd had him came past, and he didn't want to know. He started shaking. But anyway, he did cause a bit of controversy in my house because my ex-husband didn't want me to get another dog because we both had a guide dog each. But I'd always wanted a poodle, and my sister was a collection, like a debt collector. What a lovely job. For one of these companies that lend money to people and charge like 100% interest rate or something. 90-something, anyway. So she went to pick up the money this day. Not from this particular woman. She just happened to be outside with a Staffordshire Bull Terrier puppy. And she said she'd got the mother and the father, and they'd had 5 babies. She said, "Have you got any other dogs?" She went, "Yes, a poodle." Anyway, it transpired that she wanted to get rid of this poodle, and I'd been looking for a rescue poodle. But I'd rung all the rescue centres and looked online. There is a poodle rescue, but it wasn't anywhere near me, and we obviously didn't have a car. So I rang rescue centres, and they said, "You don't very often get poodles." I think that's changed since then. You get labradoodles. A lot of them go back because they're a handful, and people don't realise they're very lively, demanding dogs. But I only wanted a small poodle. I actually wanted a miniature, which is the middle-sized one, but Lammy's a toy. But he's a bigger toy. He's not one of the really tiny ones. He's like a Baldwin on a miniature, really. And they said, "You don't very often get them, because if a family member dies or something, they usually go to another member of the family, and they're not the sort of dog that causes a problem, like Staffordshire Bull Terriers. You get a lot of German Shepherd Crosses, Border Collies and things like that people take on, not realising the requirements of a dog that needs a lot of exercise and attention. And they go to work, and they wonder why the dog wrecks the place, because they're fed up with being left alone. So you don't get that with poodles. They're not that kind of dog. They're not the small ones. So this was like a gift from the gods, really. So I couldn't say no, and I didn't. And it did cause a bit of ructions at home, I don't mind telling you. he was fine with my kids from the beginning. He didn't like my niece to start with. He barked at her the first day. But I went and picked him up the 12th of May, because I went to see him on the Wednesday, and I think they expected me to take him straight away, but I was going to stay with my friend the next day up in Peterborough from Thursday to Sunday. So I arranged to pick him up at 1 o'clock on the following Monday, the 12th. But Niall, sit down now. I don't want to play. And I remember we rushed about on the Monday morning, going to the pet shop, buying a bed for him, I bought him one of those, like a cage, because I didn't know what it was going to be like. I didn't want to leave him loose in the house when I wasn't there. I didn't use it for very long, and then I sold it on to someone else, but, you know, just initially. And 1 o'clock we turned up, and it was raining, and I felt so sorry for him, because they already had him on the lead. And I thought, what, with his bag, a little carry bag of pathetic stuff, which wasn't much. It was, I don't even know what was in there. His pedigree papers, and that was about it. And I thought, what if I hadn't turned up, you know? Oh, I can't bear to think of that. Anyway, I did. And when I got him home, he was very nervous. He hid under the kitchen table. And one of the kids was eating a packet of crisps. He came, he was obviously being fed junk, because he came running for a crisp. And then when I went down, that was one of my sister's kids, they were off. I don't know why they were off school, maybe they weren't very well or something. Then when it came to school time, I put him in his cage. I went to school to pick up my kids. We came home and I let him out, and he was so pleased to see me. And from that moment on, I think even before that, I think the first time I held him in my arms, he like settled down. The first day I went to see him, I think I bonded with him and he bonded with me. And he has been such a loyal dog for all that time. He's so loyal to me. He's more loyal than any of my guide dogs have ever been. I mean, it's not their fault. Don't get me wrong, they are loyal in their way, but they are more socialised, and he wasn't very well socialised, obviously, as a puppy. And they are used to being handled by different people. And so, therefore, they're not so, I don't know, they're not, I'm not saying they're not loyal, because all of them have been very, especially one of them, Mandy. But I think he's not, just not in the same way as him. You know, they work for me, and I'll always be thankful for that. Although, obviously, they don't understand why they do it. I don't believe they do. It's just something they're taught to do. But he is with me everywhere I go. He's behind me. If I go out, he's looking at the window. He doesn't rest until I come home. He'll be up at the window looking for me and going around to the kids going, ooh, 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 ooh. And they find it very irritating, unfortunately. He's losing his hearing now. He's profoundly deaf. But there's nothing wrong with his eyesight. He's still got hawk eyes. He has been through a lot of changes with me and the kids. When I first had him, I was married to their dad for 4 years after that. Then we split up and moved on, and eventually we moved out of that house. We moved into another one, and then we moved into another one, and then we came here. I've been through a lot emotionally, you know, breakup, divorce, eviction from a house because the landlord didn't pay the mortgage, a fire, kidney problems, all the trouble with my OB's visa and stuff. Lots of things that I don't even want to talk about on here. Through it all, he has been like, he doesn't know it, but he's been a good a friend as any human could be. You know, when I haven't felt very well, if I cry, Niall runs for the hills. I don't cry very often now, but I've been through phases where I cried all the time, believe me. He runs for the hills. If I start going now, he'll go and get in his bed. He absolutely hates it. So, you know, I can't rely on him. He's a typical man, doesn't know what to do with a woman when she cries, actually. But Lammy, he gets up on the bed with me. And yes, I do let him on my bed. I don't let my guide dog on the bed. I've not done that since I was a young girl living at home when I had my first dog. But I don't want all the hairs over my bed. But because he's a poodle, he's cut regularly and baths regularly. And he doesn't lose hair like a kind of Labrador type dog. So he gets on my bed. He doesn't sleep on there at night since Obi came. I didn't want him to be pushed out, and I was worried about that, but he doesn't mind. He just goes in his basket under the bed, which has always been there anyway, and sometimes he'd sleep in there. But sometimes if Obi's got to go to work early and I'm still in bed, he'll come out and get up on the bed. And he gets up on the bed in the daytime if I'm up there doing dialysis and stuff. He's always up there with me. He's just always been there. If I didn't feel well, I'd lay down. I didn't need a hot water bottle because he'd just curl up. He'd curl into my stomach kind of thing, and I'd curl myself around him. And he's always there. When I go in another room, now because he can't hear where I am, he will go to the door, and he goes to all the different places, and he smells the ground because he'll go to the front door because he thinks maybe you know, sometimes he'll be asleep upstairs, and he doesn't always know when I come down. If he's in a deep sleep, he'll come down a bit later, like 10 minutes or 15 minutes later. If he's not asleep, then he knows, he sees my feet. Obi said he watches our feet. He knows if it's me that leaves the room. And sometimes I've gone downstairs and Lammy doesn't know, and Obi will get him out from under the bed. No, he won't wake him up. If he's awake, you know, he'll get him out. Or sometimes Lammy will wake up, and he'll come out, and Obi will pick him up, show him the empty, just hold him in his arms, show him the empty bed, and put him down. He comes running downstairs because he knows I'm downstairs. He's going to look for me. And if I'm not in here, he doesn't know where or the kitchen, he doesn't know where I am, so he looks for me. He smells the ground. He goes to the front door because I might have gone out to put rubbish outside. He goes to the cat's room, because my cats have got their own rooms, I'm sure everyone knows by now, and he will, like, smell under the door. I hear him jumping up outside the door. If he realises I'm in there, he'll go to the back door. The other day I was in the kitchen, I was bending down looking for something in the cupboard under the sink, and he was out in the garden, and I'd shut him out there, and Obi let him in, and he ran into the kitchen, but he ran straight back out. Obi called out, "He didn't see you." And he ran upstairs looking for me, you know, poor little thing. And I wasn't upstairs. He came running back down and he ran in the kitchen. He saw me again. He panics when he can't find me. And it's so sad, really, because he can't hear now. He doesn't like it when I'm not here. He gets on everyone else's nerves. He doesn't let them rest. He usually goes, if Ronan's here, he usually go into Ronan because Ronan's got the front window and he can get his paws up on the... He can get on the end of Ronan's bed and get his paws up on the windowsill or sit up on the windowsill and look out. He'll just keep looking out the window or keep putting his paws up and looking out. He used to... before we had the fire, we had a full-length window in the sitting room at the front. We've got patio doors at the back. It's like a through room. At the front, we had a full-length window, but it broke during the fire. It cracked from the heat. And I suppose it was down to expense, to be honest. They said it wasn't very safe, but I think it was the expense. They put in a half window with the, you know, like the double glazing, the horrible PVC plastic crap. We've got that at the bottom now, and then the window going up, and only the top window's open on that, which is all they ever did. It was just a plate glass window before with two windows, the little windows at the top that opened. We've still got those, but he used to have a basket there, and when I went out, he would sit in his basket or next to it on the floor, and he would just wait there. I had these long curtains, they were like satin, they were actually really lovely curtains. I think they were from Next or somewhere, and they had like these little flowers embroidered into the top, like in kind of, I don't know how to explain it really. They were a cream colour, and they had like pink and different coloured flowers, green and leaves and that, like a panel sewn into it at the top. Oh my God, next door are off again. Dad and daughter having a row. Anyway, moving on. Teenage daughter, I think. Oh dear. There, but for the grace of God and all that. So he would sit. These curtains were really too long for that window. They were really long curtains. I don't know. But they were my sister's. They were in her daughter's bedroom and she didn't want them anymore. And I had them in my bedroom after that at one point, and then I brought them here and had them in the lounge. But there was a little bit left over on the floor, and so sometimes he would sit on that. Unfortunately, they went with the fire. They were frazzled, completely frazzled. Anyway, he would sit on that the whole time I was out. And he was like a beacon at the window. And obviously I couldn't see him. But we're in a cul-de-sac and we're opposite. I can't explain it. But when you turn into our road, we're kind of opposite at the end. And so the kids used to say when they came home from school or work or whatever. School, I think. They knew if I was in or out. Because if I was in, he wouldn't be sitting at the window. And they'd see this little poodle. And he was famous, everyone said. And when I didn't have the window anymore, people would stop me in the street and they'd say, have you still got your little dog? Because everyone must have known that he sits in the window when I go out. And they'd say, oh yeah, he can't look out this window. It's such a shame, I've got a chair there. But it's awkward for him to get up onto. And then the back of the chair blocks his view. To look out, he would have to stand on his hind legs. I think what I could do is turn it round when I go out so that he could get up on there, but I think it's awkward for him to get up on there now because it's just not big enough. If I turned it round, he could sit on the chair and look out the window and not have to stand up on his back legs and look over the top of it. So he's a very loyal dog. And he's very jealous. He doesn't like the cats and that coming near me or Niall. When Obi came, he doesn't really like it. If I'm holding him in my... He's got better with this. If I was holding him in my arms and someone tries to take him away, he'd go to snap at them. He wouldn't really hurt them. But he doesn't like people coming into my personal space. I might have to be careful with workmen if they come here and they get me to sign something and they have to show me where to sign it. I hold on to his collar. He's never gone for anybody, but I know the potential's there. I have to say, watch out for him. Don't put your hand out to him now. And I hold his collar with one hand and sign the paper with the other. And I have had it where he's really growled at people when they come near me. And I take that as a warning, to be honest. I think that dogs can often sense things about people that aren't very nice. And I remember one time, I don't do this now, but when I was still in my old marital home, our desktop was up in our bedroom. And we had workmen. I think they were in for the day or something. They might have been putting in our new boiler or something, or doing something with a pump when we had the new boiler putting in. So I was right over in the corner of the room on my desktop. And he didn't like them even coming in the bedroom. They came in the bedroom. One of these blokes came in to ask me something. And he came to the corner of the bed, and I was the other side of it, kind of thing. And Lammy was, he was up there really growling at him. And I think the bloke thought, I mean, I know he's a little dog and someone could knock him out with one blow, but I don't think most people actually want to. A little dog can still give a, they can't kill you, I don't think, unless you've got some kind of immunity disease, you know, immune disorder, where if you've got an infection in your bloodstream, maybe you've had AIDS or something, you might be able to die from a dog bite like his. But he probably could give a nasty bite. He never has done, but I know he could do. So since that day, I thought I was trapped in that room, and there was no way, you know, if that bloke decided to do anything funny, I put myself in a very compromising position. So I never do that now. I actually tend to follow them around, really. And I always keep my phone with me as well. And I tend to be where they are or in the room next door. Like if they come to work on my boiler here, it's in the walking cupboard in the cat's room, so I will be in here. If they're in the kitchen, I will be in here. If they're in the bathroom, I would be upstairs, but I wouldn't get myself trapped in a bedroom, if you know what I mean. Not like I could have done that time. Because we are quite vulnerable when you can't see, when you have a stranger coming into your house. You don't know what the way they're looking at you. I mean, I don't mean to be crude here, but I have got a very big bust for the size of the rest of me. So it stands out, not to put too fine a point on it. And so my kids get foul. They always have done, even when they were younger, if we're out and they see men looking at it. And, you know, I mean, I've had a workman come to put a handrail in, and Ronan told me, when I answered the door, he didn't say anything at first. And Ronan said he couldn't stop looking at it all the time. I mean, what is wrong with you men? Get a grip. You know what I mean? Have you never seen one then before? Get a grip. So that's the kind of thing when you can't see that you don't know. And I don't really like people coming into the house when I'm here on my own. I mean, it happens all the time. You know, I've had engineers coming for my internet and coming to fix the shower and all this stuff. And I'm usually here on my own in the daytime. It's something you have to deal with. You can't always arrange for someone to be there with you. Often, you know, Rona might be here, being a teenager, he might be in bed, but they don't necessarily know that there's someone here. So I do make a point of saying something like, oh, excuse my teenager, he's not up yet, or something like that, so that they know that I'm not here on my own. Nothing's ever happened to me like that at all. But I feel safer knowing that I've got Lammy, because I think he is a bit of a deterrent, because he's with me. He's so with me, like he's sitting next to me now. He's so with me that, you know, I feel safer having him. You know, it's not like he's in the house, but he's upstairs or he's down the other end of the room. He's always, if he's awake, oh, he's just jumped down to chase a cat. He's always with me. And I know the 99.99999% of men's intentions are not bad. But, you know, there's always that one. And I know on the couple of occasions when he's really taking the exception to somebody, that there was something to take exception to. I believe that. I don't know what it was, but... Hello, Niall. Another time we did have an Asian man wearing a turban, and Lammy, we used to go absolutely berserk at that, but I don't think he was a nice bloke. I really liked him because he was working on my boiler and he kept coming loads of time, coming round to sort it out when I was living in my rented place where they wouldn't get the boiler fixed. But when they did come to fix it, he had lots of problems with it, so he was regularly there. And Lammy would go absolutely flipping berserk every time. But I think it was because he wondered what he'd got on his head. I don't think it was anything about the person at all. But this person was absolutely terrified of him. Oh, dear. That was a catalogue of workarounds trying to, you know... I had to put him on a lead. Because the bloke was really scared of him. I had to walk around with him on a lead. Because every time he looked at him, it was all... And I know it's because he wasn't used to seeing someone with something on their head. So he has been such a good friend to me. Oh, shut up next door. You are a pain sometimes. And poodles are, the small dogs are reputed to live for, Niall, they can live very long lives. So I'm hoping I've got him for many years to come. I actually seriously don't know what I'm going to do when anything happens to him. I really don't know. I feel sorry for everybody around, to be honest, because I'm going to be in absolute bits. Sometimes the kids tease me about it and I say, don't even go there, it's not funny. I mean, they're going to be just as upset as me, don't get me wrong. And Obi, I was really surprised. Now, I knew Obi loved dogs before he came to the UK. But I always imagined that he'd really love Niall and he wouldn't really like Lammy much. Because I thought Lammy's going to be a pain, he's going to be so jealous, he's going to not like it when he comes near me, he's going to go for him. And he did do all those things. On the first day, we sat down in this chair where I'm sitting now, and he was up there going, not growling like there was something wrong, but because we were like cuddling one another, he didn't like it at all, which I knew he wouldn't. But they accepted one another. And he doesn't really do it. Sometimes when we're sitting together on the settee, he wants to get in between us and he wants to make Obi move away. He likes him, but he doesn't really... He wants to sit next to him and he'll keep doing things like licking him and pawing him. And he's trying to say, move back. He's trying to say, back off. But we just laugh about it. And he sits on our laps sometimes. Or he'll sit on the arm of the settee next to me, or the back of it behind my head. And Obi really loves him. I can't believe it. He loves him like I do. And I said to him one day, I'm so surprised that you took to him like that. Because I thought, I mean, he does love Niall, but I thought he'd be all for Niall. Because Niall's that sort of dog that likes playing and running about and he's funny. And, you know, he's a lovely dog. But Lammy's a horrible little thing, really, where other people are concerned. And I thought, oh, he's not going to like him, but I'm not going to have him pushed out. There's no way that he's not going to be sleeping in my bedroom. Okay, he doesn't have to be on the bed, but I'm not shutting him out of my room. After all these years, that would be a slap in the face to someone who's been so loyal. Plus, you can't even explain it to a dog. You can't sit down and say, well, I'm really sorry, but... my husband doesn't want you in the bedroom. I wouldn't do that. He's been too loyal a friend. I told him that. I said, I'm not shut... You know, before he came, I said, you're just going to have to accept him. I said, I am worried about how it's going to be with you two, but you're going to have to accept him because he's been so loyal to me. And he said to me, that's one of the reasons why he likes him, because he knows, he sees how loyal he is to me, and he knows how he's been with me. I said, you know, he's been my friend a long time before I knew you. I actually say that to him. So he really loves him. He really does. I can't believe it. You know, sometimes I think it's a miracle. You know, he picks him up and he says, oh, look at his little paw and things like that. That sort of thing. He's more soppy over him than I am, I think. So anyway, he's sitting here like butter wouldn't melt in his mouth, and he's due to go to the groomer soon because he's looking a bit woolly. But I don't want to get him done too short this time of year because obviously he will feel the cold. He does feel the cold when he gets cut. He definitely does. He's got a nice warm coat at the moment. And it's warm. Anyway, if you've listened, thank you for listening. And if you didn't, well, never mind. But I just want to say happy birthday to my little lambie. And I hope you have many, 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 many more.